You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027. This is the Classic Business SME feature.
Well, some of that stormy weather might best describe how SMEs must be feeling at this moment. We might be hearing of all sorts of government interventions and initiatives that are aimed at helping our SMEs survive the crisis. But much of what I'm hearing when I talk to small business owners casts a serious doubt over whether these funds and these measures are indeed being dispersed or having the desired impact. Are they reaching the SMEs in need? Now, last month, the collective of stakeholders led by Heavy Chef servicing small businesses in South Africa surveyed small business owners to ask them directly to assess the impact that these COVID-19 interventions have had to date on their livelihoods. The survey was conducted among over 2,200 small business owners using a convenient sampling methodology. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Louis Janssen van Rensburg, Chair of the Heavy Chef Foundation, to the show to talk a little bit more about what the survey reveals. Louis, welcome to the show.
Hi, Michael.
Now, when you decided to undertake this, you obviously had a feeling that you were going to uncover some brutal truths, but it really is almost a lot more frightening than that. If you look, one out of three SMEs is reducing salaries between 75 and 100%. A prolonged lockdown will force 71% of SMEs to retrench, and three out of four SMEs won't survive beyond July under the lockdown. And that is evidence of some pretty severe stress. What stood out for you amongst, the detritus of terrible news in the survey?
Yes, well, I mean, we are an education company servicing small businesses and entrepreneurs for a bit over a decade now. And when COVID-19 hit the country, you could immediately hear the anecdotes starting to come through on the ground from a grassroots level. You know, from little coffee shop owners in Khayelitsha right through to well-established businesses that have track records of 16 odd years in well-off areas. They're starting to tell us, you know, they were starting to tell us stories about how they, you know, what are their options, what can they do. And obviously, as the first 21-day hard lockdown hit, it just closed the taps altogether. So as much as these the stats and the data that you just shared and the others that we've been privy to is shocking as far as, you know, just feel the pulse of the small business community, and it's not nice. It's also wasn't that surprising to us, you know, when you start connecting the on-the-ground anecdotes with the with the data.
Well, I mean, it's just not surprising. If you shut down large swathes of your economies, specifically in the SME sector, a lot of the research shows that small business owners don't have much runway to survive not generating any revenue for much longer than sort of 30 days. So when you start going beyond that into 60 days and 90 days, then it's unsurprising that you're going to encounter some challenges. Where does the key problem lie, if you were to put your finger on it, though?
Well, if we speak about the key problem as it relates to access to funding or relief funding specifically, there's assumptions you can make. You know, probably having had conversation with SMEs for years now, that, you know, we aren't always the most administratively strong individuals. You know, our standing with SARS isn't always in order. Our administration isn't always right, but still, be that as it may, there are some pretty massive gaps when it comes to the SME's relationship with government, actually for the last decade or so. And it's now when there is a crisis that didn't give small business any kind of leeway to start planning and adjusting for this in any sense whatsoever. It just, you know, all of these, it's the perfect storm of which is essentially blood on the streets as far as the SME community is concerned.
And one can understand that government would want SMEs to access taxpayer-funded relief to be paying their taxes, to be up to date with SARS. But as you say, we didn't enter into this period of lockdown with too much warning. So, I mean, it would be in everyone's best interest if government provided some common sense here and some leeway for SMEs to get their tax affairs in order. But right now, the major issue is to ensure that there is an SME that can pay tax on the other side of this crisis. Otherwise, everyone loses.
Exactly. And I mean, President Ramaphosa stated in his State of the Nation address back in 2018 that the target is by 2030 for SMEs to make up about 90% of job creation in this country. To give you a sense of how important the SME market is supposed to be to the country. And I mean, kudos to the president. And I mean, they have announced some staggering numbers as far as rand value of support and relief for small businesses is concerned. The main one being the loan guarantee scheme, which allocated about 200 billion rands worth of loan support for small businesses. But there is a problem in that range of support given, or at least the range of the type of business that can apply for that goes up to about 300 million rand per annum. So a business that generates revenue of up to 300 million rand per annum can qualify for that loan guarantee scheme. And that's a big range, because 85% of your small businesses specifically earn less than 10 million rand, if even that, per year. And, you know, the banks traditionally do not like that kind of profile of clients. And that's why in the past, what we've seen in some of the 2019 data is that about almost 90% of small businesses are self-funded, and only about 1% of them apply for actual formal loans. So, you know, we do not see that probably 85% of businesses, small businesses, will actually qualify for this loan guarantee scheme. So we have made some suggestions to make that scheme a bit more flexible, specifically the introduction of some of your alternative lenders into that scheme.
But, I was chatting on that point to Daniel Goldberg, the founder of Bridgement, on the Big Small Business Show, filling in for Alon Reyes, and he raised that issue. He says there's a big gap here. He's not bemoaning the fact that we're using the banks and we're using their lending might and infrastructure. But if you look at the alternative funders in the ecosystem, they are the ones who fund the small businesses that the banks tend to shy away from. And it's a large ecosystem, but they seem to have been overlooked in all of these interventions. So how do we bring them in?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I mean, it takes some lobbying, hopefully some sentiment and groundswell from the community itself and a bit of public pressure. I mean, these kind of conversations do contribute to that, to shine a light on the need to bring them in. I mean, those alternative lenders, they have some pretty agile models for evaluating their risk. It's not collateral-based for the most part, but that's how the traditional banks do it, for the formal banks. It's more data-driven approach. There's a lot of intelligence behind it, a lot more flexibility in the loan structures to the small businesses. And they have the trust of the small businesses at hand because they understand what it takes to run a small business. So obviously, if we want to take a step backwards and just kind of look at the numbers, we asked in the survey our community, how many of them actually applied for some of the relief funding. This was not the loan guarantee scheme. This was, the SA Future Trust and the Sovereign Fund and the Solidarity Fund, at least, and those things. And just short of half said that they actually did apply for it, but more than half said that they did not even try and apply for it for some of the reasons as I stated before. But of those half that applied for it, only about a third of them, about 30% of them, were successful in getting the funding. That means that about 60% of those that applied, actually closer to 70% that applied, were unsuccessful in their applications. So As a whole, when we ran the numbers, we estimate that only 15% of small businesses in the country receive some kind of support from these relief funds.
Well, that's far too small when we're talking about an ecosystem that is a massive employer, income generator for so many households across the country. If you look at the members of the South African SME Finance Association and some of those other alternative or non-bank lenders, I mentioned Bridgement, you've got Retail Capital, you've got Merchant Capital, there's Spartan and Kumran Padayachi, Cashflow Capital, Lululand, Business, there's lots out there. And collectively, they've lent more than 10 billion rand to over 100,000 SME owners in the last 5 years. So they do know how to do it. And I do think it is a glaring omission at this stage, hopefully one that won't continue for too much longer. Just, Louis, on the last point, you also identified research, ongoing research, and the Small Business Institute and Bernard Swanepoel in particular, this is his favorite drum to bang. We just don't know what we don't know about the ecosystem. And here you've gone in a matter of a week with your partners, and you've managed to roll out a campaign to over half a million SMEs to get over 2,200 respondents. So it can be done, but we're just not allocating enough funding to ongoing research.
Exactly. I mean, you know, this survey that we ran, I mean, at the end of the day, it wasn't a large survey. You know, there's so many small business owners out there that want to have a voice and articulate what their standing is. And I mean, at the end of the day, any kind of support, any kind of policy work, any kind of, you know, initiative to uplift small businesses and support them needs data behind it. And, you know, the data, for the most part, is pretty scattered. I mean, the Small Business Institute have done some good work to try and bring it all together. But, you know, the fact is that there's a lot of gaps in the information, and there needs to be investment in this kind of thing. We all need a data-driven approach to a lot of decision-making, especially in as a pandemic and such a crisis like we are in. As it is, it has to be a data-driven approach to finding solutions.
Louis Jansen van Rensburg, Chairman of the Heavy Chef Foundation, with some great insights on where the gaps are to help save our SMEs and get them through this COVID-19 crisis.